This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
We got the right where we want it.
Prime Time on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today, from this moment on, is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Online at 1080thefan.com and the new 1080 The Fan app.
Football Friday with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy!
What's up?
This isn't me stalling because Rob just walked into the studio at all.
What is up?
Not stalling. Not stalling at all. Sporty. Sports, sports, sports.
Hold on.
I'm sorry, I'm late.
Pay no attention to us stalling for time. The best part is Rob walked in now, and it's going to take him like 15 minutes to get
situated.
Yeah,
he's got his big
plug.
It
might take that long.
Rob's a bit of a fancy lad when it comes. Like, I just...
I'm not fancy. I just particular.
You got a lot of stuff that you got to situate there.
He's got the new iPad charging cord.
It's like a cockpit.
That's where we're going with this?
Yeah, I'm flying this plane.
You're some sort of fighter pilot at this point?
Look, I don't want to take you down.
Captain Raceoban and Master of the Skies,
I'm in charge of keeping you alive.
That is true.
Still doesn't have his headphones in.
You better hope I got my S in order over here.
No, he doesn't hear anything you're saying because he doesn't.
Still doesn't have his iPad.
Mike talking?
Up.
Mike was talking to you.
Mike should shut off his mic.
Now I'm waiting to see if your headphones are all tangled up, and that's going to take you another three or four.
This will take about 20 minutes.
That'll take another.
You ever have this?
What I don't understand about cords being tangled.
Why do they do this?
I don't know. I feel like it's
I put it in there all nice and tidy, and it comes out a jumbled mess.
It's like it's some sort of Toy Story thing, right? Like, I feel like your cord comes alive.
I don't understand the Toy Story reference.
Well, you know, like when in Toy Story, when the lights go off, the toys get up and they move around. I feel like it's that way with cords. When you're not watching the cords, I feel like they come alive and they foot rub.
They party.
I feel like they get it on. Because you can take, like when I travel, like you do like the carry-on, and then I do a little like a little tiny backpack, like one of those little Nike like athletic bags, and they put like your iPad in there, or if you got a book or some gum or whatever.
Gum.
I like a little airplane gum. Help with the ear pop.
Book and gum.
Book, gum, an iPod, you know, porn, whatever it is, classic stack of European pornography.
Flask.
Whatever it is that you're into that you want to bring on the airplane. And same thing, like you take your charging cords and you roll them up real nice and you put them in there and you don't move them. They just sit in there. But when you go to pull them out, they will be wrapped around each other 72 times. The only explanation for it is your charging cords getting it on when you're not looking.
How do we prevent this?
I don't know.
Is there a...
I'm sure there's some sort of gadget out there that'll cost like $4 on Amazon.
Right.
That'd be great. I just have never looked into it.
I mean, they don't come with a little like bag you can put them in.
Well, you need like I'm sure there's like a little Velcro thing that you could probably...
You know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to use?
Huh?
I'm going to get resourceful. I'm going to get MacGyver on you.
Like a...
Sunglass case. Like, not even a case. Like those little...
like the bag?
Yeah, the bag thing.
But I'm telling you, I've done that before and it was
still... I guess that doesn't...
It doesn't change the problem. You're just putting it into another smaller bag.
Yeah, I'm just avoiding tangling with anything else. Well, it'll still tangle
with
itself. It'll
still be tangled with itself, guaranteed.
I use this and it's a square kind of small little thing that came with the headphones. Oh. And they still get tangled in here too. I wrap them nice and neatly in here. And as I take them out, I have to spend 2 minutes finding where the little loops are and how to get
guys,
them out.
Guys, first world problems.
It is.
This is tough.
The only thing worse than that
we
is...
We should start a focus group.
I don't know if you are an extension cord man around the house.
I have several.
Yeah.
And I enjoy having several. I rarely use them except for Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas time. When you go to... Whenever it is like the four times a year that you need an extension cord, good God. I have like one of the really long ones. It's probably like 100 feet. I don't know why I have an extension cord that long because I can never use it because I've never untangled it.
Well, don't you need it for like your leaf blower?
I suppose, but you can never use it because it's always tangled. And I'm not willing to untangle a 100-foot extension cord.
Now, do you store all your extension cords together?
No, I have separate little bins for each one. And this is the frustrating part, is I'll go to take it out seemingly thinking that that's the last time I'll have to untangle it. No,
no,
no. Doesn't work that way.
So frustrating, Jason.
It is. That is the definition of a first world problem, by the way.
Yeah, it sure is.
That my power cords to all of my electronic devices don't come out the way I want them to.
I know. We could spend a whole segment bitching about it, but we'll cut it off here.
Yeah.
For you guys.
Well, finally, you're situated.
I think I'm close to situated over here. I got to log into my computer. I'm going to throw that over there.
I was going to say, this
we'll
is
get that plugged in next
this is
break.
Quite the production that you have going on over
I ran
there.
Out of time, and you know, I should have taken my, I was in there recording a spot, and I should have taken my cue because Swigard came in there.
Oh.
And he gave his big Swigard sigh, and he stood right behind me.
How you doing?
No, he doesn't say that. He just waits. And I said, can I help you? I'm recording a spot here, very important sports work. And he was like, oh, no. And I should have put two and two together that he was off the air.
Yeah, so when
but I didn't.
When Dirt and Sprague leave, you realize you've got like 3 minutes.
I know. Well, I didn't know that.
So the fact that Swag was in the studio probably should have tipped you off that this...
But that's what I just said.
Yeah,
you don't need to rub it in that I'm an idiot.
That this radio program is starting.
God. Thank God it's Friday.
It is Friday.
It is?
Yes.
Yeah, thank God.
I took out the trash today, so I know it's Friday.
Oh, your trash comes on Friday?
I'm a Friday trash man.
You know what ours is?
What?
Tuesday.
See, I don't like that. I like that the trash comes at the end of the week. It gives me something to look forward to.
What?
I feel like Tuesday kind of
you
throws...
You look forward to trash day?
Well, then you like it kind of builds up a little bit, and then you can get it all out on Friday. It's well, just...
I got news for you. It doesn't matter what day of the week it builds up.
It's going to be an exact week from the prior, so it's going to be the exact same amount of trash.
I don't want to get rid of my trash on a Tuesday. I want to get rid of my trash on a Friday.
Now, some people...
I'm very happy with my Friday trash day.
You know that some people around here, depending on your county, they only get... Every other week trash.
See, that's right out.
And I don't like that at all.
No, that's horse bleep. And I get the biggest one possible.
Do you get every other week recycling, though?
Yes, every other week recycling.
See, that's the way it should be. It should be trash once a week and then every other week on the recycling.
We get the yard debris and the recycling, and they rotate. Except during the winter, you never need any yard debris because nothing to clean up.
Christmas tree. Leaves.
Leaves, I suppose. But I just leave the leaves down there. I'm not dealing with leaves. That's just
that
nice.
That is a guy for that.
Yeah, that's just nice ground cover there. No, I just let those kind of, they go back to Mother Earth. But with the trash, I insist on having the biggest trash. That's one service that I will always pay for. I want it every week.
The big trash can?
And I want the biggest trash can because I hate having to, monitor my trash level. I want to be able to throw away what I want when
yes.
I want.
Yeah, it sucks when you get out there and you're like, oh, how am I going to make this work?
Exactly. You kind of look at it and you're like, well, I can't throw that away. Or you're like, well, I got to wait until they come. No, I want to be able to just, I want immunity when it comes to throwing crap away.
I hear you. This is the best part of having a truck is that, one of the best parts is you can just, if your garbage is full.
Back of the truck.
You can just throw it in the back and then we have a dumpster right out here.
I do that all the time. For the bigger ticket items?
Look, they're not going to know.
No.
I mean, I don't know if somebody monitors that stuff.
I do see Suk very often back his truck up after the show and throw stuff into the dumpster.
Well, I don't do it as often as he does. So if you're looking for the culprit, it's Jason.
Although this is the one rare positive of living in an apartment is
yeah, there you go.
I take my trash out to the dumpster whenever I want.
But isn't it? But see, I don't know. Isn't it because you've got multiple people using it? Is it full more?
Oh, it's full, but who cares? You just leave it next to the dumpster.
See, that's the thing. When you don't have to deal with it, you just pile it on top.
Yeah, throw it there.
But I'm with you. So here's what I did. You want to know my scofflaw ways? When I bought my current house, I looked at my trash can and I went, that's not going to work.
No.
And so I saw over at the neighbors and that house was empty and I saw a big trash can. So I swapped.
Really?
Yeah. And so I took the big trash can and I was only being charged by waste management for the small one. And they finally caught it.
Oh, yeah.
This gal, the hot... Remember, I told you I got a hot...
Hot trash lady.
I got a hot trash gal.
I'm still waiting for an introduction. That hasn't happened yet.
She said, hey, man, this ain't going to work. This don't fly at WM.
You got to grease the trash guy a little bit. And if you do, you know, you slip him a couple bucks here and there.
Yeah.
You can throw away some extra trash.
Do you tip your trash guy?
I do.
You do?
Well, Christmas time.
What do you give him?
$50.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because over the course of the year, I like to know that I can, you know, like if a hot water heater needs to disappear.
Like if there happens to be a body in there, just look the other way.
Exactly. You know, hey, let's not worry about
what. Let's get that out to the dumps. Yeah,
let's not worry about what's happened here in my trash situation. Here's a fitty and just look the other direction.
Okay.
I have found that, you know, whether it's a couch or a hot water heater, if you grease the trash guy a little bit, you can make those things disappear, and I appreciate that.
Plus,
it's the holiday season, and those guys work hard.
They do.
One of the most interesting things about this to me—
And gals.
Yes.
Is growing up, we didn't have the automated trash trucks that come through. You could just leave the trash in your backyard. They'd go back there. They'd take whatever was there for you and bring it into the truck. There was no rule of like, oh, you need this much in the can or else they won't take it because they just have the machine do it. It was just, oh, they'll go grab it. It's
you know
okay.
why? That's because you lived in New Jersey. That was the mob.
Yeah, the mob runs that out there.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, it was a lot more convenient then.
Yeah, like mom and pop garbage. I mean, they'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Waste management doesn't care.
No, they really don't.
Like, here's our guideline. Meet it.
Although waste management did run their truck through your house once.
Yeah, they did. You know, we've got a lot of waste management, and that's a true story. We don't need to revisit that here, but, you know, it's worth telling again if you're new to the broadcast.
Truck through the front door.
Yeah, one of their trucks, and it was a total accident, went through my...
Sure it was.
Went into my kitchen.
Yeah, you don't tip them, and that's what happens. You get a truck through the kitchen, you son of a bee.
Well, we've got a lot of... I got to give a shout out to our waste management bros. We've got some P1s. I see them at a lot of our events.
Yes.
They're our buds, and they listen closely. And we love the trash bros.
I do.
And the WM bros.
Big fan of them.
And broettes. But I got to be honest, I always think about tipping those guys.
Yeah.
But I never do because I never see them. Like, oh. you got to make a point.
Yeah, you got to be out there.
For when they show up. Yeah, and I just, you know.
Oh, so I know when my
trash... I'm going to do that next year.
I know when my trash comes and I'm always around.
And I'm going to one-up you. I'm going to give him $100 and then I'm going to say, you know that cheap-ass souk? He only gave his 50.
Well, plus you have the hot trash lady, so that's even better.
Yeah, she's pretty... I'm not kidding. She's pretty hot.
Well, how about
you want to meet her, huh?
Yeah, how about we meet the hot trash lady?
All right.
Huh? Yeah. Let's make this happen.
Maybe Souk can chip in the extra 50 for your tip.
See, there you
and
go.
Then there's the meeting.
There's the
oh yeah.
There's the end right there.
Here's 50 for me and here's 50 from my buddy. Now why don't you write down your number?
It's true love over trash.
For my buddy, I mean not me.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh
me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm married.
But. I had a hot male lady once and it was like a magical experience. Like when you get like a hot service provider, like that doesn't happen very often. And when you do, you hold on to that. You appreciate that.
Does it ever get awkward? Like, let's say you have a really hot server or something.
Yeah, it can get weird.
It gets a little weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, it would be a little strange.
On Christmas Eve, we were in London, and we had a big Christmas Eve dinner. We went out, and our waiter was this bro from France. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, the ladies were swooning.
Yeah.
And it got a little weird.
It can. Here's the thing, especially if you're married and you're with the significant other or you're with the girlfriend and you get the super hot service person, whatever side, whether it's a hot guy or the hot gal, it's always a bit of an uncomfortable situation because the other person is trying to pretend that it's not a big deal, but you're not fooling anyone. Right. If you get like Matthew McConaughey and he's your waiter, you know your wife's staring, and yet she's gonna pretend that she's not interested, and vice versa. If you get the hot lady, you're trying to be like, oh no, no big deal. I once went and got fitted, like when I buy like suit jackets, I usually have to go and get them tailored. I have a hard time buying off the rack. And so my wife was with me and we went to a dry cleaner that was a seamstress place too. And the lady that was working there was like a 9, 9.5. Unbelievable.
Now, why are you docking her a half point?
Well, you can't say a 10 because then 10 is perfect and no one's perfect.
Okay.
And I had a very attractive wife. My wife was a beautiful gal. The lady in there was smoking hot. And needless to say, guess where I didn't get my suits tailored? That place.
Right. She's not stupid.
No, she put this. My wife would put the smackdown on it. She would not allow that to happen, which always fascinates me. Like the professional golfer. Remember, like Tiger Woods, who is that? Elon, right? She was it Jasper Parnevik? That was his nanny. Are you kidding me? Like Jasper Parnevik's wife was just like,
I think it's Jesper.
Is it Jesper?
Yeah.
Jesper. Whoever that is, that was his nanny. Like, really? Like that's
the matter with that?
That's the nanny that you hired. What wife is letting that go by?
Well, there's a lot of cool ladies out there. They're down to party.
Something was up there.
They want it too.
The model slash nanny.
People getting weird out there.
Yeah.
Well, hey, listen, just a whole bunch of first world problems right there for you guys. But I'm back. I'm ready to go. The cockpit is, it appears to be...
You're feeling good.
We're all set up here.
I was texting with my buddy before the show. I was talking to him, and I was giving him a hard time, and he responded with, powerful open, boys, powerful open.
Thank you.
So
it's what we do.
To Dan out there, you're welcome for that big opening. That was just for you.
Well, think of our show as like, you know, those first few steps into a hot tub.
Yeah.
You know, you never really.
No, you don't just.
Never graceful.
You don't just cannonball your way into that.
Well,
I got to
slide in.
Ease your way in.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to mark this off as a potential best of opening segment to play in a best of show.
Oh, God. I wouldn't
it's been
call
hilarious.
That,
come
I
on.
I wouldn't call that best of.
No. No. Although my buddy did call it powerful. So I'm going to take that. I know he meant that in a derogatory way, but I'm going to take that and run with it. When someone says, hey, how was the show today? Well, I've got it on confirmation that the opening today, powerful.
Let's see if we can be powerful in our next segment.
It was a powerful opening.
Let's see if we can take some of the power out of this. You want to start with college football coaching news or go right to NFL playoff weekend?
Let's talk about the coaching news.
Choose your own adventure.
Yeah, we'll go coaching news, and then we'll, as we get lubed up here a little bit, we'll lube some deals. Then we'll move
then we'll
on.
We'll bring the real power.
Yes, then we bring it. Then we bring it with a hard thrust.
All right, well, we'll start with quite a few college football coaching notes, including one on Mike Riley and who may get the Arizona job next on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Online at 1080thefan.com and the new 1080 The Fan app.
Hey, a quick note before we dive into football. That if you're a baseball bro, tomorrow night is the annual Old Timers Baseball Association of Portland banquet that I emcee every year.
Is this like where Tommy Gordon and all those guys get together?
Tommy Gordon?
Oh, excuse me, not Gordon, Gorman.
Oh, Tommy Gorman, yeah, he'll probably be there. Yeah, it's pretty much who's who of baseball folks here in Portland. You know, Dale Murphy has spoke. You know, this thing is like 85 years old.
Yeah.
Johnny Pesky used to come to it. It's been going on every single year. Well, do the math. I don't know what.
You said like
80, when would that have started?
Well, 80 years?
84. I think this is the 84th annual, actually.
Well, let's chop. This would be the 18th, so let's take 18 off of 84.
Okay, you get me a date, but that's like a long time ago.
Yes.
And it's been going on every year. So I've been emceeing it for 84 years. I've been emceeing this.
Wow, you know what? You look great.
Yeah, thanks. And so anyway, there are a few seats left. There's about 400 people that are going to pack into the Mac Club tomorrow night, and they do this hot stove beer drinking thing where you just kind of schmooze and shake hands and, you know, swap stories and stuff at 4. And then the doors open at 6:30 to dinner, and then we have an awards banquet. And they give out about $15,000 worth of scholarships to some worthy young youth in our area.
The two youths.
As they go on to play baseball in college. So it's a great cause, but they also have great speakers like Rob Nyer is going to be speaking tomorrow.
Oh, the great Rob Nyer.
Tom Treblehorn, the president of minor league baseball, will be there. It's awesome, and it's a really fun time, and it's only $65. If you want to go, if you're a baseball bro and you're not doing anything tomorrow night, come by. Just bring cash or check. I can't do a card at the door, but if you come by, it's at the Mac Club tomorrow night. Get there by 4:30, and it will include your dinner, a seat for all the shenanigans, and a free beer. They just load you up with beer and then you get the dinner too. So
by the way, my uneducated BYU math, I got 1934, Bob.
God.
Yeah.
That thing started in 1934 and it's still going. And they pack the Mac Club every year. It's so fun. And so, hey, I'm just, you know, throwing it out. A few tickets are left. So it's $65 cash or check at the door, Mac Club tomorrow night. Say 4:30, I'll meet you there.
All right.
We'll have a beer together. We'll have a free beer together. I'll buy you a free beer.
You do always talk about this every year and what a cool event it is. And you know what? Baseball guys are the best because they have the best stories.
They do have the best stories. You know what?
There's so much downtime like around the game of baseball that it just lends itself to shenanigans.
Baseball guy. You ever heard Tom Treblehorn speak?
No, I haven't.
Oh, dude, the guy's hilarious. I mean, he brings the house down every year. He's so good. Just typical baseball guy, you know, just funny anecdotes and stuff and getting into it with umpires.
Well, like even red asses like George Brett, Brett's one of the all-time great red asses, but listening to, like, I've heard him speak before, and like you can find his stories on YouTube. Those guys are just
They're fun.
There's something about baseball guys.
So that's tomorrow night. Come by. $65 at the door, and we'll party. Hey, so some college football coaching news.
Yeah.
We found out today that Mike Riley will be making $50,000 at Oregon State.
Now, realize, too, that this is kind of along the Helfrich lines. Yes, he's doing this so that there can be more money for the other staff, but also any money that he makes at Oregon State comes out of the settlement from Nebraska. So it makes sense that he would make less at Oregon State so that they can pay other people, because he's making the same money. Nebraska has to pay him $50,000 less now.
Right. So his monthly nut from Nebraska.
Yeah.
Is down to $166,000 monthly.
Yes.
That he will get from Nebraska. It was $170,000, but now that he's making $50,000 at Oregon State, it's only $166,000. Which this has got to be normal, right? This is how it works.
Yeah.
So when you're getting paid, you get turfed, and you're getting paid by another school. You take a new job. And they're all different. I mean, I'm not saying it's like universal, but
there's usually some form of this.
Yeah, there's like, because Helfrich is kind of doing this too.
Well, Helfrich doesn't have to anymore, because Helfrich took a buyout. Helfrich was a member, he was owed almost $12 million. And Helfrich took a lump sum of just over $8 million. And as part of his agreement, he can make no more than $1.7 million over the next couple seasons combined. Otherwise, he has to give back 50% of the lump sum. So they kind of came up with a buyout. They came up with an agreement. But yeah, a lot of this is and it's usually not dollar for dollar, but usually the money that another team has to pay you in a buyout does go down if you take another job in football.
Okay, so if I'm Nebraska, am I pissed about Riley making $50,000?
I think you would have preferred Riley to take a real salary.
Like, they're probably sitting there going, well, what the hell? $50,000.
I don't think Nebraska's paying Scott Frost $5 million. I don't think they're too upset over a couple of shekels throwing Mike Riley's way.
Still though, this is I mean, to me, that makes it even better that they hired Mike Riley, right? Like, that you get his expertise,
$50,000,
and you're only having to pay him $50,000. I mean, that is, he has a wealth of knowledge, and he's a great. I was listening to Dirt and Sprague driving in. Swag made a great point about him, and it's that Riley is not going to be like this hands-on offensive coordinator type guy,
he's
right?
Work with the tight ends.
$50,000. Like, he'll probably be up in the booth, and Swag was talking about, it's like basically all the guys that are out recruiting on the road can pick his brain about, you know, because his eye for diamonds in the rough was great when he was the head coach. And that's what you're getting, but you're only having to pay $50,000 for it.
Yeah, and I was talking to someone who's close to the program, and they were saying that Riley is really kind of embracing this and doesn't really want to.
He'll stay in the shadows.
Yes.
That's the way he is.
I was trying to think of the best way to put it. He's not clamoring to like be a head guy. We talked to Bilotti a while back, and you know, when we were at Joey's place, the Pearl Tavern. And
you finally got it.
Finally got it. And Bilotti was even saying that he would like to coach, but he goes, I don't want to be a head coach. And he goes, if I was a head coach, I'd want it to be someplace small. He goes, I could see myself being a coordinator at a small school or maybe even a high school. It's like guys like this, they just want to be involved in the game of football, but they don't want the 17-hour days. They don't want to be, you know, on the recruiting trail all that time. He's more than happy to kind of get his football fix, from what I've been told, and yet stay in a very subordinate role under Jonathan Smith.
That's just like him, too. Like, doesn't surprise me at all, you know? And he's got a wealth of knowledge. So that to me is a good deal. I know some people were like, oh, no, this is bad.
No,
I don't get that.
No.
Plus, he gets a full membership to Corvallis Country Club.
That's usually pretty standard with all the coaches. And he gets a car.
He gets a car.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to ride his bike anymore. He's probably a little too old to ride his bike now.
Well, almost every coach.
They didn't give him a bike?
Every coach gets a car for the most part.
Now, does he have to pump his own gas? That's the question.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in Corvallis. But most college football coaches, you get a free car, and not all of them, but the head guys and the coordinators, the country club membership usually comes along with that.
But no cars for the kids.
No. Nothing for the kids.
Whoa. No.
Well, this is what I don't understand. So what they do, like, I have a buddy of mine that does they call them the dog dealers. up at UW, and they do car dealers all over the state of Washington. And so maybe each car dealer, you know, donates three or four cars, and it's not always just to the football. You know, one will go to a basketball coach, and so basically all the assistants at UW all get cars, and it's through this thing they call the dog dealers. And then, you know, with that comes certain perks, like they allow them to go like on the team plane like once a year, and they take them down and do a little booster dinner or something for them like that. But basically every coach at UW has a car for almost every sport. What I don't understand about things like the NCAA, if you're going to be so hard pressed to say no, that the kids can't make money, if you can do that for coaches, why can't you do that for athletes? If you get enough dealers that want to put together, maybe even for, you know, a car share program. We did this. We went to a bowl game in Memphis. All four of us, each, so groups of four, we all got a car that we got to have when we were down at the bowl game. Why couldn't you have something like this for upperclassmen? Stuff like this to me makes no sense. That the way that the coaches are treated versus the way the players are treated, to me, it's asinine, especially when we say like, well, we can't afford to pay everyone. Meanwhile, Clemson's building a slide. They're building a slide in their football facility. Some of these places have so much money, they don't know what to do with it.
What does that mean? A slide?
So
what?
They have a multi-tiered football facility. Mm-hmm. And so now instead of taking the stairs and elevator, they have a twisty slide.
Sweet.
Yeah. So Clemson is
That's all they deserve.
So Clemson's putting in a twisty slide. Well, how about instead of a twisty slide, I don't know, you give the kid a couple grand.
No. Twisty slide's plenty. That's like the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
How great is that?
And every coach that wins a bowl game or wins a national title, they're getting hundreds of thousands of dollars. But
you know, the strength and conditioning coach for Alabama got 100 G's for their win. The strength and conditioning.
You know what the kid got? He gets a T-shirt and a hat.
Well, hopefully they'll get a swirly slide. What do you call it?
The twisty slide.
The twisty slide.
But like, we're already paying the kids in an education. So it's not that people don't want them to be paid. You just want to control what they're paid in.
Okay. So that's the deal on Riley. I'm sure Nebraska loves that. Who is interviewing and may be close to a deal to be the new head coach at Arizona?
And someone's not happy about it.
Right. Let's get to that coming up next. It's 3:33 on a Friday. Here is Mike with SportsCenter.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Online at 1080thefan.com and the new 1080 The Fan app.
Much of today we will spend talking about these NFL playoff games. But right now, we're filtering through some college football coaching news. The Arizona job, of course, Rich Rod, that all happened while you were gone. How about that? Rich Rod, gonzo.
Yeah, he...
he's out.
Some allegations.
Yeah, some, I'll say.
Well, I mean, he's saying that he had the affair, but none of the rest was true. And the university apparently couldn't back it up, but she's filing a lawsuit. So he's saying that she couldn't corroborate anything, but I've also read saying that she may not have corroborated it because she's saving it for the lawsuit.
Yeah, that's no look. They wouldn't have fired him if it wasn't true. They just couldn't corroborate it because she wouldn't cooperate with them because she's suing him. She's like, I don't care about your investigation.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my money and I'm going to keep these text messages and all this evidence. And so that's why they couldn't figure out. I mean, they couldn't pin him down on it, but okay.
So Rich Rod's screaming from the mountaintops that he didn't do any of this stuff, but we'll wait and see what happens when the lawsuit comes out.
He got fired for a reason.
Yes.
So the new coach at Arizona, at least according to a couple of sources, FootballScoop.com and the Arizona Daily Star, could be Ken Niumatalolo.
Supposedly they're negotiating a contract right now.
He is the head coach at Navy. He's gone 84-48 in 10 seasons at Navy, and he runs the triple option.
I just think this is a great hire. This is kind of where I wanted Oregon State to go, because I think Oregon State and Arizona, well, and people may not, you know, put these schools in the same, the same category. But to me, I look at two schools without great tradition, without a ton of, I'd say high profile things to sell. Certainly not up there with the big boys in the Pac-12. And I love the fact that bringing in a guy like this gives you an instant identity, because I think it's ridiculous for a lot of these schools to pretend that you're going to be USC or that you're going to be UCLA or that you're going to be Stanford or even Oregon and UW, and that you're going to go out and you're going to recruit 4- and 5-star kids. So I do think that they quote unquote gimmick offense. I think it's great for a school like this to have a different kind of identity. And look at what he did and was able to have the level of success that he did at Navy. You're going to get a 10-time better athlete at Arizona than you will at Navy. And it wasn't like he was just winning, you know, against Little Sister Mary of the Poor. That was a hell of a program that he's built there. So,
well, and they're so unique.
They are. And
preparing for them is just, I mean, you just don't see that.
No, and it's going to be a mother bear. And so I think this is, if this ends up being the hire, I love this for Arizona. And I think it has a chance to make them stand out. Like I said, I don't think they're going to go on some run and dominate the South, but they were never going to.
They'll give teams fits in the South with him.
But
you're right. This doesn't mean like
no.
But that's kind of your whole point, is that Arizona is probably never going to be at the top of the South.
No,
I mean, isn't it kind of proof in the pudding? You just got Rich Rodriguez, and at the time, they're like, "Oh man, that's about as good as Arizona's going to get."
And look at what they did.
And he got him to one Pac-12 title game, right?
And a BCS game where they played Boise in the Fiesta Bowl.
He did a good job there, but I think it is sort of evidence that you can only do so much in Tucson.
Yeah.
Right? You had Rich Rodriguez, who's, you know, pretty elite guy, a coach, and he could only do so much. So this guy kind of stabilizes things and gives you a different look.
He's going to run you a clean program. You know, he's a disciplined guy. You're going to recruit a different kind of athlete. But this, the whole notion of the triple option, you know, being something that you can't produce any kind of athletes in, is just incorrect. I mean, you look at what Georgia Tech and Paul Johnson has put out over the years. They had Calvin Johnson played at Georgia Tech underneath that system, and Demaryius Thomas both came out of that. So it's not like you can't throw the ball.
Did you see what Khalil Tate said?
I know, and this was interesting. Khalil Tate, who was their star quarterback, came on the scene, tweeted out, it's since been deleted, but he said, "I didn't come to Arizona to run the triple option."
Yeah, so if they hire Niumatalolo,
and that's
Tate's probably gone.
It's disappointing to hear, but I'd like to think that he can sit down with him and explain to him how dangerous and how productive he could be in this system.
Now, do we care that he misspelled triple? He doesn't know how to spell triple.
I didn't see that.
T-R-I-P-P-L-E.
Typo.
Oh, typo. Right. Yeah. Right. Couldn't possibly have misspelled it.
But to me, if I'm Khalil Tate, just be open to the idea. Go watch some of Navy playing, and you're telling
me amazing
you can't picture him running that system. I think it'd be phenomenal.
So he's not the coach yet. What they're saying is he's been offered the job, at least according to two sources, and the Washington Post confirmed that he was not at the Football Coaches Association convention, which was earlier this week. He missed that, and he has not been in the office at Navy yesterday or today.
So I know when I brought this up for Oregon State, a lot of Oregon State fans got all pissed, and they feel like it's a slap in the face when you run, quote, the gimmick offense. And I just don't. I think it gives you an instant identity that sets you apart. And when you're swimming in a pond that has sharks in it, with USC, with Oregon, with UW, with Stanford, with now Chip Kelly at UCLA. So let's say I'm Arizona, right? Or I'm Oregon State. And there's a 4-star kid. What do I sell if Oregon, UW, USC, and UCLA all want that kid? What do I sell him? It's just it's really difficult to do. And so to this notion that you're going to play the same sort of game with them, I think is very tough. Even a guy like Mike Leach at Washington State, that in some ways is a gimmicky offense. You're going to throw the ball 60 times a game because Mike Leach knows you're not going to line up at Texas Tech or Washington State and knock people off the ball like you do at Alabama, or run a power eye like you know student body right, student body left. And so you come up with some form of scheme. I don't like the word gimmick, but it's a scheme that you can recruit to that you don't necessarily have to have the best players and will give people fits. It will make you hard to prepare. And I think that's what this does, making a move like this, if Arizona goes in this direction. And someone else pointed out too that the West Coast is full of a lot of Polynesian talent, and I think this does help you tap into that, that you've got a guy, you know, that that has that background is only going to help you more in a West Coast recruiting war that certainly has a lot of a Polynesian flavor to it.
All right, I've got, actually, believe it or not, two more college football coaching notes, and then we'll move on to the NFL playoff weekend next on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Online at 1080thefan.com and the new 1080 The Fan app.
Hey, they bid farewell to Alex Crawford this morning on the morning show.
Yeah, I listened to some of that driving my kids to school.
Did you? Were there tears?
I think there was some sadness, although one of the segments I heard was they were trying to see how many times in one segment they could piss off Cam.
Ooh.
Because, you know, Crawford, I think, got under Cam's skin a bit.
Right.
And so, yeah, it was just Crawford just throwing things out there that were going to try to upset
they
Cam.
They were trying to trigger him.
How did they get it?
You could tell that there were some moments like Cam can't resist the bait. He just can't. And
so they got it.
They got it. I don't know as much as because he knew it was coming.
They reeled in the big fish.
But and then Cam was telling about the time he first met Crawford, and that was interesting.
Yeah, those two are like oil and water.
Yeah. I think there's an appreciation there somewhere.
Oh, there is.
But it's
But it worked. It worked. Alex Crawford's great.
Yes.
Like Alex Crawford is leaving. He's going down to Southern California to do a documentary. It's not a documentary. It's a film.
He's making a movie about Newport.
Yeah, that's where he's from.
Yeah.
Newport Beach, mm-hmm. I think, California.
Newport Beach, California.
And so he's leaving. But it doesn't surprise me that he's leaving because he's a really talented guy.
He's creative.
Very creative. And he's one of the better young guys we've ever had here. And he's kind of one of those guys that you just knew wouldn't be around that long.
Yeah.
He's going to move on to bigger and better. So we wish him the best. He was awesome. I loved Croft, man. Hey, man.
I think he's...
Let's get a beer, man.
I think he's drinking at the Alibi right now if anyone wants to go by.
You're paying.
I think they're... Yeah, you're paying. I think they're having a farewell toast for him.
He's a good dude. So we wish him the best. He was only here... I mean, he wasn't here that long.
I would say it was like 2.5-3 years.
But he had a pretty big impact. While he was here.
He certainly was one
unlike some of us who have been here 12, 15 years or however long it's been. People are like, wait, you're still here?
No one gives a damn. Crawford is the most unique individual that I've worked with over my 12 plus years.
Good personality.
Yeah.
He's fit for either behind a microphone or in front of a camera.
Well, he wants to be behind the camera. He wants to direct films. And
that's good, too.
And I can see that.
He's a hell of a personality.
And he'll be directing porn within 6 months.
Good kid.
I can definitely see that as well.
All right, so two other coaching notes. Mario Cristobal is trying to steal the running backs coach from Washington State.
Yeah.
And you may go, well, why? his name's Jim Mastro, but he... the interesting nugget about him is that he spent 11 years at Nevada, and he is one of the inventors of the pistol.
Yeah, and so maybe toying around with that a little bit as well.
Interesting.
Well, and
isn't it funny how, like, because with Helfrich and Nagy teaming up with the Bears, isn't it interesting how, and this has always been the case, but just I think we're just more aware of it now, who runs what offense, and they're kind of, they're melding, right? Like, nobody's running just one thing. They're adding elements of, you know, the Helfrich's bit or this guy Mastro.
Well, in Alabama, if you've noticed, Alabama runs quite a bit of the pistol. When they kind of modernized their offense, they went to some of this. And yes, you're right that there is becoming more and more hybrids out there.
I mean, interesting.
You still have some old school people. Like Stanford's going to run Stanford's going to run a lot of two tight sets, and they're going to be run heavy. But even USC, I think you're seeing some of this bleed into USC and running a non-traditional offense. That's why I don't like labels. Even on the defensive side of the ball, right? It's like, do you run a 3-4 or do you run a 4-3? Well, yeah, you're going to be based, but a lot of times you're running a 3-4. All you have to do is put one other guy's hand in the dirt, and all of a sudden you got a 4-3 out there. So there is more and more of this in football where you're seeing – what do they call in business? Best practices, right? You know, don't be so stubborn to think that your way is the only way. You run best practices. You take a little bit from A, a little bit from B, a little bit from C, and put it together, and there you go.
Nate Costa is back as well. He was at IMG coaching quarterbacks. So he's going to go to UCLA, and he'll be an offensive consultant for Chip Kelly down there. So that was the other nugget I had.
So he'll be one of those. He's a coach, but he can't coach players. He can just sit in on staff meetings and help with game plans.
He's kind of an up and comer in the in the coaching ranks.
He's a bright guy. I got to work on the Ducks postgame show with him for a year or two, and he's one of those guys that even though the career didn't quite, he had injuries and got beat out, didn't quite work out the way you wanted it to. He was a really bright guy. He was a guy that we would sit and talk football, and you could instantly tell that there was a good grasp of the game. And you don't always get that. Just because you play doesn't mean that you have like a football IQ, and because you're good. And other times you talk to guys that aren't that good.
Herm Edwards.
And you talk to guys that may not be necessarily the best player in the world, but there's a grasp.
So he's 20, Costa's 29.
Yeah.
And he's going to go work with Chip. I bet you in the next, 5-6 years.
Yeah,
you'll see him rising up the ranks.
Yeah, he'll be a coordinator somewhere, or maybe even a coordinator with Chip.
All right, folks, that is the first hour of radio broadcast. We have put it off long enough. It is Friday. It is NFL playoff weekend.
Let's get into it.
Let's start with NFC.
Yeah.
We've got Atlanta at Philly, and we've got New Orleans at Minnesota. And we'll get to those games.
One of those.
Next.
By far, my game of the game of the weekend for me.
Oh, yeah, the Eagles, man.
Welcome, Nick Foles.
I know. 356 on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.